Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. The River Cree Resort Casino excitement. Bet on it. We welcome back to the show. I just dropped him off at his house. Sportsnet color analyst Louis DeBrus for GCL Diesel, providing service, genuine diesel parts and turbochargers at great prices for over 50 years. Visit GCLDiesel.com. Hello, Louis. How are you doing?
I'm doing well today, Bob. How are you doing?
Good, good. The day after what turned out to be a very disappointing night for the Edmonton Oilers, and Rob McClain made an interesting point. He reminded everybody, hey, Edmonton went into Vegas with 9 games left in the regular season last year and built up a 7-3 lead and won 7-4 over the Golden Knights, and Bruce Cassidy said, we can't play that team that way. And Vegas ultimately got Edmonton in the second round of the playoffs and beat them in 6. What did you see last night between Edmonton and Dallas, Louis?
Well, I saw a really good half of the game, to be honest with you. I saw a game in the first half where both teams had their chances. I thought Edmonton had more chances. Rang a few bars and just couldn't seem to find one. Passed Jake Ottinger, who they had beaten 3 times in a row going into that game. It seemed to me, though, that as the game went on, the Stars were just one step ahead of the Edmonton Oilers. And you know what? They picked off some passes when Edmonton turned it over. The Dallas Stars made them pay. 2 very good teams going at it. Now, I know there was a flurry in the second period, and everyone's going to talk about a 5-0 loss, but that was a 1-0 game up until late in the second period, really, or essentially 2-0, with a power play for Edmonton that got killed off and a 4-on-1 that resulted with Wyatt Johnston coming out of the box and scoring the goal to make it 3-0, and that was the backbreaker, the dagger that I think finished the game off, and really there was no looking back from that point in time, as they would score 2 more in the period and never look back. But yeah, you know, it's kind of one of those frustrating nights, I think. I think Edmonton had their chances, both even strengthened on the power play. They couldn't capitalize. They couldn't find that first one to get the momentum. And credit the Stars, a team that's won 8 in a row for the first time in franchise history. They found that win and cruised to an easy 2 points. And you can see why they're one of the teams that you have to make note of and talk about in the Western Conference and the NHL, because they're a very deep team. They got better at the deadline. They've added players that have made them better. And, that's what I saw.
Louis DeRoss joining us right now. Louis, in a game like that, all right, and some of Edmonton's better players. Darnell had a tough night. Leon Draisaitl had a couple giveaways that ultimately ended up to some goals. You know, the good thing about the NHL in the regular season is you got a shot at redemption right away, don't you?
Well, you got a shot at redemption in the playoffs as well. Listen, this team, historically, and since I've been covering, especially the last few years, after a game like last night, has responded very well. You know, it's a team that, yeah, every once in a while, they're going to lay an egg. I don't consider it a completely laying of an egg last night, so maybe I see it differently than a lot of people, because I know people are up in arms about that game. But in realistic sense for me, 3 posts hit in a 1-0 game. You go into the first period, you've outshot the Dallas Stars on the road. They've had 3 days off. You're not the more rested team, and you've outshot that team. You're still down 1-0. You go into the second period, and it's back and forth. It's in the balance. And you know what? The power play goal by Sagan, and I talked about the power play because I thought the power play for Edmonton had opportunities to swing the momentum in the game early, and it didn't happen. And especially in the first and second period, that's when the 3 power plays of the 4 happened for Edmonton. They just couldn't seem to find that traction. Credit Dallas. They killed it off. They were good with their sticks. They broke up seam passes, and their goaltender made some saves. And that's the way it goes. And then once that last power play before the flurry for Dallas was killed off, and then it led to the 4-on-1, it was a bad pinch down the wall by Darnell. It was guys that got caught deep in the zone, and a puck battle won. And the Dallas Stars, as they did all night long, the one thing that stood out to me was their pressure. They were attacking everywhere on the ice. They were quick. They took time and space away. And when they had their opportunities, boy, did they ever take off on the offense. So It was high octane, though. I really thought it was a solid game for the first half of the game. Like, if you were to go to the first 30 minutes of that game, you'd sit there and go, wow. And this is two teams that are kind of going at it here. They're defending well. They're getting their grade A chances because of the elite talent that's on both of the teams. But for me, it was pretty even. It was pretty back and forth. And then Dallas was able to blow it open. But, you know, that's a team that under Peter DeBoer plays an aggressive style. It seemed to frustrate Edmonton. I don't think they controlled that very well. I don't think they adapted very well. And as you said, they had a few guys that didn't have great nights. And everything they turned over, every mistake they made, it seemed to be in the back of the net. And that seems to be the way it's going for Edmonton right now in their losses. They're getting punished for mistakes they make. And I know that Chris Knobloch has used the term many times where he says our mistakes were costly, you know, very costly mistakes. But, you know, when you're playing tight checking hard hockey against good teams, that's what happens. You make mistakes in the back of the net. But as you mentioned, in the regular season, you have the opportunity to get right back up to bat, and they're going to have a real tough team in here tomorrow night in the Colorado Avalanche. So you can't really worry about it. You have to make adjustments. You have to find a way to be better and be a little bit more engaged early in the game. And I have no doubt they will. I mean, it's one loss in an 82-game season. There's some good losses, there's some bad losses, there's some games you should win that you don't. This one, I don't think they should have won it, but they were certainly in it until the halfway point.
Louis, in the third period, 5-0 game, Ryan Suter, who's sneaky dirty, I think it's got to be stated, like, he knows what he's doing.
He's an old-school dirty guy. He knows how to get away with stuff.
And he got a shot in on Warren Fogle. And they later came together in the third period, and I kind of thought, geez, like, if you're Warren, don't you go back at him? You know what I mean? And hit him or chop him or do something. You know what I'm saying? Or is that just on the DNA of today's player?
I would suggest to you that it's a different game now, but I think there's players like that. I don't think Warren's ever been that kind of player in his career, so I don't know why you'd expect it now. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the reality.
Would it help his cause if he did a little bit more of that?
Of course it would. I think it helps everybody's cause me to do a little more of that. And to be honest, that's the one thing that I think that I would have liked to have seen earlier is more engagement that way.
Me too.
If you're playing against a fast team that likes to move the puck, that likes to get up the ice, the one thing Edmonton did well that I thought, and something they can build on against the Stars if they ever play them again, and that would only be in the playoffs and into the second or third round, you know, for me, they did great in zone. I thought for when they did get the puck in the zone, they controlled it. It was the one area where they could get Dallas to kind of settle things down and not be as aggressive because of the skill and talent that Edmonton has and the way they're good in the offensive zone off the cycle. They really are a good cycle team. They can control pucks. Their Ds can activate. They can get shots through. The post by CeCe, the prime example. A couple of Bush bombs we saw get through traffic. Ottinger was there to make saves. He had a screen in front of him one time. I believe it was Carrick right in front of him one time. And, I mean, he swallowed that up. He had a shorthanded breakaway for Sam Perry. I mean, there were some really good things in the game, too. You have to look at it that way. But when you're playing against a very, very good team that the Dallas Stars are, and no different than when teams play against the Edmonton Oilers, if you get off that page a little bit, you're going to get burned. You're going to get burned. There's just too much talent. That is a very, very deep team. 19 goals for Jamie Benn. Now, he will become, when he gets his 20th, the 8th 20-goal scorer on that team.
It's a good squad.
You can't turn pucks over. You have to control the puck. And, you know, as far as the 4-on-1, I know a lot of people are talking about that. It's a 2-0 game at that time. It was a race for the puck down the wall, Darnell Nurse. He got beat to that puck. He was a little hesitant to dig in and get down there at first. I think that little hesitation is what cost them, not getting there first. And that's what happens when you play with a team that pressures. And they were pressuring on the penalty kill too, by the way. So that's a team that I think feels good about their pressure game. I would argue, though, that when Edmonton is dialed and when they're sharp, they can move around that pressure. And they've done it. And they've done it consistently. They adjust, and they work around that type of pressure well. And so I say to myself when I look at that game, yeah, you know what? You've got them tonight, but when they start making plays, and when Leon Draisaitl, as he does, 75 out of 82 games, makes those plays, doesn't have that puck turnover in the defensive zone. Like, how many times have we seen him get one knocked down and directly lead to a goal afterwards? Doesn't happen that often. But he's got to be able to make those plays because we know what kind of plays he can make. So it was one of those nights. It wasn't their night. And things that happened went south for them, especially in the negative way when they turn pucks over. But, yeah, listen, I thought the physicality could have been ratcheted up. I know Kane got into it a little bit. He pushed Wyatt Johnston, but I liked that in the third period. I thought too late. period. I thought that needed to be engaged early, and especially against a Dallas team that I don't think wants to play that way, that's how you can get to them. Because quite frankly, it's Jamie Benn. Mason Marchman's pretty tough kid. He's going to show up. He's going to drop the gloves. But I don't think as a whole that team wants to play that kind of game. So that's the one thing about the Dallas Stars that I'll say. When they get into a series or into a game with a team that's willing to go out there and play that kind of hockey and say, you know what, we're just going to be meaner than you the whole game. We're going to run you every single time you have the puck. My question in my head is, are they going to start hearing footsteps? And the only way we'll find that out is when somebody does that to that team. So that would be my suggestion moving forward against the Dallas Stars. And I think Edmonton has shown in the last couple of years when games start to be like that, we've seen two real physical series against the Los Angeles Kings. You know, the Vegas Golden Knights, when they went to the conference final, that's a big physical team. And I thought Edmonton was able to match that and match that intensity. And you know what? In the second round, sorry. The Colorado Avalanche, when they beefed up, when they won the Stanley Cup and beat Edmonton in the conference final, that was a physical series. Fast, skilled, and physical. If you look at the Stars of Edmonton, they can handle that. I have no doubt that when the pressure comes up and the physicality ratchets up, they're completely capable of playing that game. And as a matter of fact, I think they're actually better at it than a couple of the top teams in the West, and they know it. So it wasn't there. I don't think the intensity was there necessarily. But that's to be expected down the stretch in a situation where both teams, yes, they're trying to still climb up the standings and get better seedings, but they both know they're going to be in the playoffs.
We're joined by Louis DeBrusk. For Cam and Lauren and the team at GCL Diesel, Bob Stauffer with you on Oilers Now. GCL Diesel providing service, genuine diesel parts, turbochargers at great prices for over 50 years. Visit GCLDiesel.com. All right, Louis, you know we have to talk about it. The start of the game last night between the New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils. I loved what the Devils did. I loved that they stuck up for themselves as a team, that they went out and got Curtis McDermott. And I liked that Matt Rempe took the fight, 5-on-5 line brawl. You know what? Everybody was talking about it, you know, everywhere today around sport about, hey, that was, you know, a little bit old school there. And I know players are different, but they got after it, didn't they?
They certainly did, and it kind of reminds me back in the day. I remember when they did the exact same thing. The L5 guys dropped the gloves off the face-off. I don't know how many years ago. Mike Rupp was involved in that one, and that it was very similar. But the New Jersey Devils and the New York Rangers, as with the New York Islanders, that trio of teams really dislikes each other in the New York area. Brings back the fire again, doesn't it? I mean, the New Jersey Devils are a team that I think have underachieved this year. They're a team that really felt they were going to take another step forward, and they didn't. They've taken kind of a step back, in my opinion. Now, coaching change, Travis Green comes in there, and he went in there, and Travis is a little old school that way. He really is. He's like, you know what? Whatever. What happened previously with the New York Rangers, Rempe gets suspended. You know, McDermott tries to fight him. It doesn't happen. I like the fact that the kid came out the next game, and he was ready for him off the opening faceoff. He backed up. You knew they were going to fight, and they had a doozy. That's two big guys going at it. But then everybody got involved in that. I mean, you had Curtis Lazar. You had VC. I mean, you had Goodrow's in there fighting Miller. DeAndre Miller did a pretty good job, and Jacob Trouba as well. I don't mind it. I know some people thought that it wasn't very good for hockey. I disagree wholeheartedly. I think that that's the passion in hockey. It's a physical game. It always has been. And quite frankly, I don't think the players dislike each other enough in the modern game. I think that they go to business. It's just another game. There aren't those rivalries that build up enough, and I think those rivalries are what make the game so great, because it doesn't just become another game. It becomes a game where you get fired up to play it, and it gets people out of their comfort zone. You're going to see guys that don't typically fight getting in fights, which to me tells you the will to win, the will to compete, and we saw that in that first shift at the Rangers, New Jersey.
All right, Louis. Oilers and Avalanche tomorrow. Key for Edmonton.
Yeah, key for Edmonton. I think just being on their toes. They're going to get them in a back-to-back situation. They're in Minnesota tonight. It's, again, a little bit of a later start. They're going to fly in here. They're going to be in a back-to-back situation for Edmonton, home a day. I just think they have to get on them early. We've talked about this all the time. I think when Edmonton gets out of the gates and has that strong first period and really dictates the play, this is a team, again, that can get up in the action. You know, that's the thing. When you look at how this team is able to transition the puck with the defense they have, and I would say that the Dallas Stars are similar in that regard. They were very good at transporting the puck up the ice, and there was guys that were up the ice all night long for the Stars. Except in the third period, they kind of pulled back a little bit.
100% they did.
With a 5-0 lead, you understand that. But in the first two periods, I mean, even the 4-on-1 shorthanded, that was a 3-on-1 shorthanded, with a player coming out of the box and making a 4-on-1, it's just the nature of their game. And I would tell you that the Avalanche have a similar nature. They want to attack. They want to take off. Their defense activate. Their defense are great at moving the puck. Forecheck will be critical for me. In-zone puck possession in the offensive zone for Edmonton will be critical. Managing that puck and not throwing whole passes, but driving it to the net, having a presence in front. Another thing that I thought Edmonton did well early in the game, they had a presence in front, and they got pucks to the net. If you look at the Carrick goal against the Avalanche last game, it was a mucker goal in front of the net. It was an important one, too. It tied the game. Warren Fogle, same thing. I mean, if you look at the way they played in that game, it was a very tight, hard-fought game, 2-2 into overtime. We know what McKinnon did with a nice pass out to Lehkonen with 1 second on the clock or less to win the game. I expect much of the same. This is a team that you have to be ready for, and I think Edmonton can kind of push them back a little bit. I think Edmonton can get in there in the forecheck, make it a physical game, make it a grindy game, try and take away that neutral zone a little bit, not allow that speed to come through, because unlike a lot of teams they play in the league, this is a team that has the speed to match them. This is a team that has the transitional ability to make you pay up the ice with the way that their defensemen can move and transport the puck. So it's going to be a good one.
Awesome stuff, Louis. Thanks for joining us on Oilers Now.
All right, bud.
It is 6:22 in Edmonton. When we come back, we'll get to the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers and the prospect report for Reface Magic. You're listening to Oilers Now. As we go to the Oilers Now injury report, it's brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. We will tell you that the Oilers play the Avalanche. Pavel Francouz, the sort of number two goaltender, has been sent back to the Czech Republic for this. He's done for the year. He's out with a groin injury. Joel Kiviranta used to play for the Dallas Stars, and Valeri Nichushkin are not in the lineup for Colorado tonight in Minnesota. Illness for Kiviranta, lower body injury for Nichushkin. Of course, Gabriel Landeskog's not played for the last season and a half, and the Stars have placed Logan O'Connor, a depth forward, on IR as well. We go to our prospect report. Brought to you by our friends at Reface Magic. Here's Brendan Escott.
So James Steffen's first round playoff series, I'll be most specific, is over now, and he actually leads the Western League, or is tied for the lead, with 8 points in those four games. He had four of them in game three goals and an assist. I think I mentioned that yesterday. Didn't actually tally a point in that deciding game in the series last night, but five shots on goal, and really you can tell the kind of player that he is just by how many shots he does fire on goal. 6, 6, 4, and then 5 in every game in that series. So they will move on. I'm not sure who they play yet. I don't even know if they're sure who they play yet.
Right.
But so too does James Steffen move along.
There you go. That's the prospect report for Reface Magic. We'll tell you that the Oilers got multiple viewings when it was all said and done on James Steffen. And when I mean multiple, between three different scouts, 25 to 30, Keith Gretzky went in to see him play four games in a row. And right now, he's moved ahead of some of the depth forward prospects in the Oilers organization for the upcoming season. So 50-goal scorer this year, 100-point man. I got it's really grown in his time in Portland. Thomas Dias has a Global News weather traffic update. John Shannon coming up, and he's going to regale us with stories about SCTV. Really? When we come back on Oilers Now.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.